You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Next week, New Zealand celebrates the 125th anniversary of women's suffrage, the date when women got the right to vote in our country. But however much things have improved over those 125 years, they still aren't perfect yet. I spoke with former Prime Minister and UNDP Administrator Helen Clark about her new book and what it means to be a woman in power, and started by asking her, why do we still need to commemorate suffrage in 2018?
All of us stand on the shoulders of those amazing women who 125 years ago succeeded in winning the right to vote, and not without a huge campaign and taking a petition the length and breadth of New Zealand. So we all owe them a debt of gratitude. We wouldn't be where we are today if they hadn't done it.
How far do you think we've come, both as a country and in terms of politics, from even your time in office?
We had a slow start after 1893. It was 1919, many years later, that women won the right to vote. And Ellen Melville, after whom the Central City Hall is called, was one of the campaigners for that. Then it was another 14 years after that that the first woman MP was elected, and another 14 after that that there was the first woman cabinet minister, Mabel Howard. But I guess from the time of my generation, baby boomer generation, we started kicking over those traces and kicking down doors. And the result today is we have a parliament that's pretty close to 40% female. And I think that with a big push and the goodwill of all political parties, that could go to 50-50 in the next 2 to 3 elections.
What challenges do you think Jacinda Ardern will still be facing being a woman leader today?
It is annoying that some of the same silly old stuff comes trotted out when there's another woman leader, and Jacinda is the third. New Zealand is world leading in this, but I guess each of us have had to put up with some silly stuff, the sexist comments, the shock jocks, who do see women somewhat differently, shall we say. But look, Jacinda stands right above it, as she should. I tend to comment on these things more now that I'm long out of politics than when I was there, because it's just not productive to comment when you're there.
How do you think young people, both men and women, can help push the cause of equality forward?
I've got great hope in young people actually breaking through the last barriers. A huge issue for New Zealand is the rate of sexual and gender-based violence. For domestic and family violence, we lead the OECD on that. We don't like leading the OECD on bad things. We like to be top of the developed world on good things. So we've got some major work to do, and it really starts in every home where girls and boys need to be treated absolutely equally, do the equal chores, so that no boy grows up thinking, oh, the girls around here, the women around here, I can do what I like, I can hit them, I can beat them, I can do what I like. This is not on. So it does go back to the most basic attitudes. They need to be reinforced right through the school system and in the way we all interact with each other, children and adults.
What would be your main message to younger women who've grown up in an age which is a lot better than it's been, but it's still not equal? What would you say to them?
The advice I've been giving in the course of Tira Garang promoting the book of selective speeches published by Ellen and Unwin is back yourself. Believe in yourself. Step up. Don't hold back. So often women are more likely to hold back and say, oh, I'm not ready, when guys, and good on them, say, I'm ready. So, we just have to back ourselves.
Talking about your book that you mentioned there, what was it like going back and looking at these speeches that you gave when you were in office?
Well, the speeches go back to the maiden speech in 1982. And at that time, that was a very substantial speech. You had 30 minutes, and it takes a lot of content to fill 30 minutes. So I did a lot of work on that speech, and I think it stands the test of time. But this was a speech written before New Zealand declared itself nuclear free, when there was still apartheid in South Africa, and we'd just come through the very divisive apartheid selected Springbok tour of New Zealand in 1981. So I find when I dip into the speeches, and I haven't gone back and read them all, obviously, when I dip into them, it is a trip down memory lane. I looked at one a few days ago when I was preparing for the Rainbow Trust Gala in Auckland. There's a speech in there that I gave on the Homosexual Law Reform Act, which decriminalised male homosexuality. Now, we had to make 101 arguments for this. And today, with the Marriage Equality Act and, you know, the discrimination removed against the LGBTIQ plus community, people may not realise what it used to be like. I was asked in an interview the other day, what do you think have been some of the most important steps towards gender equality in your lifetime? So I said, well, the Equal Pay Act, which, as I recall, was 1972. And they said, could you elaborate? Because a lot of people may not realise that men and women used to be paid unequally. Well, they did. When I was first starting holiday jobs as a student, late 60s, early 70s, before the Equal Pay Act, there were different rates of pay for men and women doing the same job. So when you ask how far have we come, of course we've come light years. We're not there yet, but we could be, and we will be.
That honestly does still blow my mind, that thing about equal pay, because it's incomprehensible to me as a young person thinking about that. Your books come out at quite a timely period. I mean, talking about 125 years of suffrage, is that sort of intentional that you'd bring it out at a time when these issues are still really relevant?
Alan and Unwin, the publisher, were very keen to get it out now because there is a lot of interest in women's leadership and gender equality issues right now. When they approached me to ask whether I'd be interested in having speeches published, I said, well, do you think anybody would be interested? Oh, yes, they said, I think they might be. And, of course, its first edition sold out a couple of weeks before the launch, so the second one's been furiously printed, and they are out in the bookshops, by the way. But, it has gone well. Peter, my husband, published a series of my speeches from my first 4 years at UNDP, and that's much more a solid development volume of speeches, and that's sold out as well. But this one really spans 36 years, from the maiden speech in April 1982 right through to a lecture I gave on breaking through glass ceilings at the Asian Development Bank in Manila in March this year.
I actually have a copy of your UN speeches as I came over and visited you as a UN youth tour a few years ago when you were in New York.
Right. Yeah.
So I'll have to get a copy of your new book.
Please do.
just finally talking, I'd like to talk quickly about something that's happening in Australia at the moment. There's been calls for gender quotas in Parliament, which I know has been tossed around in New Zealand as well. Where do you stand on that in New Zealand?
I think at close to 40%, we're going to get there. And often when gender quotas are set, they're set for 20% or 30%, and we're long past that. I don't recall off the top of my head what the proportion of the Aussie Parliament is. But when I was at UNDP, our advice where women and their male allies wanted to dramatically increase the number of women MPs, often from a very low base, we would say, well, try quotas. And a lot of countries have done them, and of course they do have immediate effect. You have a quota, they've got to have women in Parliament in significant numbers. So they do work.
But perhaps New Zealand's a little bit above that. Is that kind of what you're hinting at?
Well, I think we're virtually there. I do think that with the momentum now, the close to 40%, if the parties are really serious about gender equality, we can get there. If they're not, we'll find out, and maybe we'll be back advocating a quota again. But I think we can do it without it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.